Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from this nice, beautiful country of New Zealand where it's just starting to turn spring, which will be fabulous for all of those like me who despise the cold, and if it had a heartbeat, I would attempt to kill it. And my very special guest is Mark Stephens. Mark, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much, Vinny. Glad to be here.
Please enlighten me as to a little bit about who you are and what it is you do.
I'm kind of jealous you're in New Zealand right now. I've wanted to get there for a long time.
The grass is always greener on the other side. You've got tyrannical cops, we've got tyrannical cops. You've got fluoride, we've got fluoride. It's the same thing.
Yeah, but you're the size of California, but you've got a tenth of the population? So it's
4 million, and there's like 80 million in California, so like 1/20th of the population?
Well, I think there's about 40 million in California. So, okay, I guess a tenth. I understand. The area I live in, at least I'm left alone. Even as an activist, they tend to leave me alone. Let's see, about myself, I'm author of a book called Adventures in Legal Land, and the new book, which really is, I know I catch heat for this every time, Government Indicted is soon to be out, and it's about my experiences in the court and what I've learned by dealing directly with these people, and because that's basically what I've been doing since like 97 is helping people. Hi, dear. As helping people resolve conflicts with bureaucrats.
And I would imagine that you're rather busy.
Oh, yeah, especially after I did one, I don't know if you heard this, I did one a number of years ago with an IRS attorney named Kimberly Clark, and we posted that, I think, in December of 2010. Well, starting January 2011, I've been doing it basically 5 days a week, almost nonstop. That's what the majority of my day has been for the last few years. I mean, I've been very busy for years, but since that call, it's really ramped it up, and I've spent hours every single day dealing with the IRS and tax agents and prosecutors.
Much scumbaggery going on with those people?
Well, wow. We could fill a 3-4 day show of just talking about all the different. I could pull out my notes and start going through with the names, and I have a lot of this stuff in the new book, of course, but yeah, they tend to really be a good example. We just got Calvin, who does work I work with, and he does a lot of the post-production for the show, and he co-hosts it when he can, just posted a better version of the audio of a hearing that I did with Ian Freeman of Free Talk Live, where I was cut after an hour. And so you mentioned scumbag. I would have to say that Michael King, who's doing the hearing, the hearing officer, would fit that bill. He wound up cutting I was doing it like we are, where I was doing a hearing with the DMV, the Department of Motor Vehicle in New Hampshire. And I just wouldn't let go of the issue of evidence of jurisdiction and the whole basis of the complaint against Ian that the laws actually apply to him. And so the hearing officer just couldn't take it anymore. And even though they were valid objections, he went and he cut my transmission.
Sounds like they should change the name from the DMV to the DMFs.
Well, that's the way they tend to be. And, you know, in the prosecutor who did that, her name was Jean Killam. She had it.
Whoa. Her last name was actually Killam.
Killam. You know, I actually just got that. How could I have missed that? Yes, Jean Killam.
You can't make this stuff up, bro.
You know, I always notice the pseudonyms the IRS uses, and I did not get this woman's last name, so I thank you for pointing that out. Jean Killam had filed a complaint in court, and I was helping with that. We had filed for evidence, you know, disclosure. And the day of the trial, she wound up withdrawing the complaint because – and this is – you know, we believe that here we're hitting them every single time. Where's the evidence? Where's the evidence? And so she withdraws – the same day, and files the complaint instead with the DMV because there it's not beyond a reasonable doubt and the technical rules of evidence don't apply. And so it's a lot easier to try to ram someone through the system. But after almost an hour of me insisting that the prosecution present some evidence, he wound up cutting me, which is unfair. And so that's a really good video. I didn't get to see him on video like I can see you now. I couldn't see when he was actually going to cut me. But you can watch the video and you can see how he does that. So it definitely fits the bill of what you're talking about.
Yeah. I was just thinking, you know, when your job is exposing scumbaggery, you're generally busier than most people would ever conceive of.
Yeah.
It's a true testament to just how overarching the just generally throughout society the level of scumbaggery just seems to be growing and overflowing. Sort of like, I don't know, have you ever left pasta on the boil at too hot for too long or something like that, and all the water starts bubbling and just spilling out of the sides of the pot and getting all over the element and stuff like that and threatening to burn the house down?
You know, I've never had them get that crazy where they were going to start, you know, really ramping up the attack against people where they're losing their home or their car or something. They may lose in court, and we usually are able to prevail on appeal. But generally, we've been lucky in that we really haven't, at least with me, we haven't encountered somebody who is going to take things on such a personal level.
So you haven't – have you got any horror stories of, like, the worst of the worst?
Well, to me, what I consider some of the worst is when the stress level is so high and the attack is so unrelenting. And even not that they're at your home, but it kind of breaks somebody's spirit. That to me is the worst. And when they if they actually get away with taking, you know, part of a bank account or something like that. But a horror story that I see is like we had Mike in Idaho. Those who follow my show, he had a – there was a 10-year investigation with the IRS. They wanted him bad for tax evasion. And I worked with him for a couple of hours before his trial. And they were going to call 40 witnesses. 40! And he was able to get the jury to hang during the first trial. And when they retried him, they brought in a ringer from San Diego up into Idaho. And this guy – turned the heat up so bad on this on Mike that just he, you know, from the stress, he just couldn't maintain the, you know, his defense. And so out of, you know, with fear and that he just dropped the ball. I don't mean to blame him. It's just he, you know, that he wound up getting convicted, you know, the second time. And so he's sitting in prison now because of that.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just the tactics that are being used by authorities to hurt people. I think people forget that, you know, just because you're not being shot or stabbed or something like that, sometimes being dragged through the mud and being unjustly prosecuted for no good reason, that kind of thing, it can be a real bullet to the head.
It is. I remember there was in one IRS situation where the – I have the – this is something, you know, other people have heard. We have – I went and met with the IRS agent and the supervisor, have them on recorded, knowing they were being recorded because I was in the office, had the agent admit that there was no evidence the guy had a tax liability or was even a taxpayer, and they wouldn't stop. And this is what makes it so – what people maybe not understand, like getting what you're saying, even though there weren't guns – the fact that they wouldn't stop. the family could not understand, and the friends could not understand, like, if the agent is admitting that there's no evidence as a liability that he's a taxpayer, why won't they stop? And it's that absence of reason where you can't make sense of it that is really piling on the stress and making it more difficult. You can't understand. You have no evidence. Why won't you stop? Because normal people like us, normal people can't wrap our minds around that. You admitted you had no evidence. Why can't you stop? And I think if people really understood the psychological impact of this, maybe there would be there wouldn't be so many prosecutions. You know, with being 12 people actually agreeing with these psychopathic U.S. attorneys and prosecutors, because they don't really understand and grasp just how damaging and traumatic the situation is.
Well, either that, or they perfectly well, and at least the attorneys and what have you, probably know precisely how effective their techniques are, and maybe they enjoy it.
Well, I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right that on that side that they're sadists. I think, though, for the average person, you know, watching something like this happen or hearing about it, they don't understand. That's why they don't understand why they question so much about Aaron Swartz allegedly killing himself. Because when you're being unrelentingly attacked by these psychopaths, especially when there's no evidence, and they're threatening this kid with life imprisonment, and they just won't stop. I think if people did, and I think after it happened, people started to understand that, you know, and get a kind of a glimpse into this world. And so there was a lot of pressure to have that U.S. attorney fired. But I think if it's more people going to understand that this is not an isolated thing, this is all the time that there's like a post-traumatic stress disorder associated with going through the court system, I think people would be more unwilling to participate in the process as jurors, and maybe, you know, that's what I like to say. I'd like to see if more people understood, they wouldn't be they'd be more reluctant as jurors to convict people in those situations.
Do you feel that jurors are somehow pressured or corralled by the judges into doing specific things or giving specific judgments?
Oh, I think there's, and I can show the evidence that they are. Well, one, the jury, and I go through this a lot in government indicted. We know without a doubt, whether you're in New Zealand or you're in Canada or the U.S., every juror is there on the threat, duress, and coercion. That beyond dispute. You go to jail if you don't show up.
Yeah.
We know for a fact, and I've seen this myself, and I have audio to prove this, the judges are giving criminal – they're basically telling the jury to convict you. So like in Mike's situation where – the applicability of the code is absolutely an essential element of the crime. And the judge, instead of having the prosecutor prove that, which they cannot do, instead of having them prove that, the judge tells them in the instructions that the law does apply. Whoa, wait a minute. The prosecutor, that's an element of the crime. You can't just do that and cover that element of the crime for the prosecutor in one sentence in jury instructions. So – the judge is coercing them to be there, and is, because he's the authority figure, is basically telling them to convict you, ordering the jury to convict you.
Mm. So basically, the jury aren't lawyers, or at least most of them will never be. And when they come in there, they don't know the law, and the judge simply tells them what the law is, even if it's not. And then they convict you. Because they were told by the judge what the law actually is, how it applies, and maybe lied.
Well, what they're doing here is they're substituting the prosecutor's entire burden of proof on an element of the crime. In fact, if you look at tax evasion, the applicability of the code, where am I? The applicability code is the bottom level. Okay, if you don't prove that the code's applicable, you can't prove the code created an obligation. If you can't prove the code created an obligation, you can't prove that I believed that there was an obligation. And if you can't prove I believed it, you can't believe that I willfully failed to file or willfully evaded taxes. So here, it's not that.
Sounds like a whole bunch of BS to me, man. Like, oh, this kind of like ring a ring. I mean, come on. I mean, this is just fraud.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And what happened with Mike, what made it so unbearable for the guy is that, and I heard this, that the judge was threatening him every step of the way that he was going to be punished if he brought up the applicability of the code. Now, they'll tell you that, well, the applicability of code is an element of the crime, but they think it's a given. Like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Wait, time out. An element of the crime has to be proven beyond a reasonable doubt. It's not a given. If it's on video, that's different. You got evidence. It's not a given. So for the judge to turn around and in the instructions say that the law does apply, even though the prosecutor has presented no evidence, that's criminal. They would say in New Zealand that that's perverting the course of justice.
Well, perverting the course of justice in New Zealand is known as justice.
Wow. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
We've got an extraordinarily corrupt judiciary. And what occurs to me is that's why they call it the criminal justice system, because it's just criminals who call themselves justices.
Yeah, it's the same all over. We put in the jury instruction because you can, at least here, you can give the judge him to give the instructions you want him to give the jury. So one of the things we put in there is for the and no judge has done this so far. So we have evidence that even though it's relevant, they won't say it, which is an automatic reversible error. Anyway, one of the instructions has to be is that the jury may not assume that the law applies to the defendant. That the prosecutor, as an element of the crime, the prosecutor has to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. Now, no judge has said this yet. Now, you can say what you want about me, but let's just, if we look at just the instruction, nobody can seriously argue that the law has to be proven to apply beyond a reasonable doubt because it's an element of the crime. It does. The crime of tax evasion doesn't exist without the statute.
And the statute doesn't exist.
Well, the statute exists, but there's no evidence it applies to anybody. And I don't mean just the tax debt. I mean the Constitution and the statutes. And none of it can be proven to apply to anyone. In fact, that's one of the things we were going through in that hearing that I did with if you go to thefreekeen.com or the Free Keen YouTube channel, you can see the video that I did with this hearing officer. And that's all I did. What evidence has the prosecution presented that would prove that the constitutional laws of the state actually apply and that there's jurisdiction to even have a hearing? And you'll see he dodges, he's shucking and jiving all over the place, but he's not having the prosecutor present any evidence. And it doesn't matter, Vinny, if it is, I've done this in New Zealand, and I've had friends do it. I've done it in Australia for years. I've done it in England. We've done it in Canada, and I've done it here in the U.S.
It's the same deal everywhere you go. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. I think we've got a break coming. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. I just spilt coffee all over my desk, all over my studio. It is very moist in here right now.
That's what she said.
Yeah. That's a little inappropriate for FCC-regulated radio. Good on you, son. Mark Stevens is my guest. You can send comments to him at markstevens.net, the sexual content of the Vinny Eastwood Show. And yeah, we're talking about taxes, and you're obviously aware of Aaron Russo, From Freedom to Fascism, and this kind of thing. And what occurs to me is it's really... Whew, catch my breath here. I kind of freak out when all of my technology gets covered in coffee. Okay, what occurs to me is that Aaron Russo did what many Americans basically wish they could do, but didn't have the skill. He made a documentary that was a classic, really, that fully exposed the entire paradigm of criminality behind the taxation system in America. And now it doesn't really lawfully apply to anybody. And the institution of the Federal Reserve in 1913, I believe, happened over Christmas when there were, like, nobody there. They were all home with their families. And only a few corrupt scumbags stayed behind on the payoff and service of the bankers to institute this policy and simultaneously create the Federal Reserve and the IRS. And it's not legal. Well, let me rephrase. It's not lawful to tax people on their income unless it's voluntary. And they're trying to convince people. In fact, they have convinced the vast majority of people that it ain't voluntary, that it is legal, and that there is a law, when there just isn't. How exactly can you live in a system that lies so blatantly and so completely to the entirety of the population and people don't rise up and slay them? Marie Antoinette style. It doesn't make any sense. How are the people so cowardly? And the answer is, it's not cowardice. Somebody asked me the other day, you know, they saw a giant of almost nuclear bomb go off in Syria on a video. And she says, how come people aren't stopping this? Why are they so cowardly? And it's like, well, it's not really a question of cowardice or bravery. It's a question of, are you a man with an army? Can you stop that from happening by force? Because that's really what it's going to take at the end of the day. And forcing the government to come into court to explain themselves, to point at the legislation that that they're trying to enforce upon you that doesn't exist, is a form of force, which makes me think that the people who do it become enemies of the state and are treated almost as such. Do you corroborate that, Mark?
I can't corroborate all of that. I believe that, you know, the idea that there has, you know, even if there was a law, that if they passed a law that said Vinnie Eastwood had to pay 50% of his salary every year or whatever money, you know, it's still, what evidence is there it applies? There's never been any evidence. You talk about, you know, lying. They lied right from the start, whether it's the U.S., Canada, it doesn't matter. That the idea that people could call themselves a government, and they were, there is no government. They're gangs of killers, thieves, and liars. To have a government, you have to have a state. Yeah, there has to be a body politic. And there's no evidence of that because it's been coercive right from the start. The so-called American founders did not provide their services on a voluntary basis. People may have had a choice whether they had Washington or Adams, but they didn't have a choice whether they're going to have government at all. And that's where it all springs from. If you don't have a choice in whether these people are going to do what they're doing, and when everything is coerced, and that's why I'm able to go into Australia and call. You can listen. I have my call of shame on markstevens.net. And I spoke with a prosecutor in Melbourne. And there's no more evidence that the Melbourne laws or Australian law apply to anybody as there is that New Zealand law or Canadian or American law apply to anybody. They just say it does. In fact, I even have this on video, Vin. I have a Tempe City Councilman. I'm confronting them directly. What evidence do you have that your laws apply to me just because I'm physically in Arizona or I'm just here in Tempe? And he says, you want your proof? Here's your proof. We have jurisdiction because we said so. And it all boils down to they use a gun. And it doesn't matter whether it's New Zealand, in Auckland, or whether it's in Melbourne. It doesn't matter. You've got one man telling you or a group of men saying you're going to pay us a certain amount of money. They use the word tax or legislation just to cover up the violence. The idea of government itself is the lie. And it all stems from that. So it doesn't do us any good to focus on just taxes or here or they're misapplying the law. They're not misapplying the law. It's not that they're trying to
quickly applying it. They're very correctly applying the law, is my take on it, because the law is simply a criminal gang with rules. I mean, if the mafia comes up to you and says, "Hey, look, you're going to pay us some protection money," and you say, "Well, why do I have to pay you protection money?"
"Because I said so. And if you don't do it, VJ over here has a bat. And he's going to smash up your entire storefront, okay? You're going to close down your business and we're going to wind up owning you entirely. And then we're going to kill your family, okay?"
And you're like, "Okay, well, I guess I'm going to pay the protection money."
Sounds
good.
And
after the mafioso leaves, guy from the IRS comes in and he says,
"Hey, you owe us about $120,000 in taxes."
And you're like, why do I owe you $120,000 in taxes?
"Because I said so."
"Well, what if I don't want to pay you the $120,000 in taxes because you said so?"
"Well, I got a couple of guys out there in a car, and they got guns, and they're going to come in, and they're going to arrest you and put you out of business, and we're going to repossess your business anyway and throw your family out on the street."
"Well, I guess I'm paying that $120,000 worth of taxes then."
There you go. And that's the way it works. And it's that gun in the room. Under all that paperwork, which when you watch that video of me doing it, you hear any of these call of shames. All I'm interested in doing is I want to get to the gun in the room. So there's a very interesting conversation I had with someone last week and someone in Toronto, and it was a taxing issue. So what you're really saying here is, do you want me to break your arm or break your leg? That's the options that you're giving my client. And at least this one was he saw the error of his ways. He understood that this was wrong. He didn't want to take any responsibility to stop it, though. It's
put it this way: if you see it's actually illegal to see a crime being committed if you can stop it and not do anything to stop it or something like that in New Zealand. You know that somebody's become an accomplice.
Yeah, they did an episode of Seinfeld.
That's basically what's going on.
Yeah, they did an episode of Seinfeld about that where you can't be an innocent bystander anymore. A bystander, by definition, is innocent. You can't make I would like, it's almost like they're trying to mimic a moral law that if you see somebody being hurt, you have, morally, you should do what you can to stop it. But I was not aware that they had that in New Zealand. But it makes sense because it's kind of a standard thing that all these Anglo-American places have. To me, it's just public relations. Well, what do we need to do to make this look good? What do we got to do to convince these people to continue complying with us? Oh, I know. Make it look like we're protecting them. Hey, that's a good one. And that's what they do.
What's the difference between the mafia and the government? When you pay protection money to the mafia, you get protected?
Yeah. If you're buying their beer, like Al Capone's beer, and somebody else tries to muscle in and sell you their beer, then it was kind of, I guess the object was that they would, as long as you're buying Al Capone's beer, that he's going to protect his market. But, what I've mentioned before, the only difference between the mafia and or the organized crime and governments, which is the same thing, is governments have better PR. They've convinced you, because at this point, the mafia could not get away with forcing you to put your children into mafia schools. They don't have the public relations to get away with that. But the government thugs, the criminal cartel called U.S. government, and their gangs called states and cities, they can because people have accepted it for so long. And it's as an individual, we feel that we're absolutely powerless. And so they march their children off to the concentration camps called schools, and another generation gets brainwashed. We got to work within the system. We may not like paying taxes. It may be theft, but we got to change the law. No, you have to stop complying with it. And that's why I like the line, Vin. There are no rules if there are no rulers if nobody obeys.
I believe that's true. And somebody said to me yesterday that protesting is not non-compliance. Okay, if protesting made any difference, they'd make it illegal.
Absolutely. So I say, if people are serious, if you're really serious about bringing about a volunteer society and ending this tyranny, you don't want your money, your whatever we were calling it today, but your labor, the product of your labor, if you don't want it being used to kill people 8,000 miles away, you have to stop complying. And I know a lot of people activists will tell you, I'm not advocating breaking the law. I do. If you want to see change, you have to stop complying with the people who are doing this to you. They are human farmers. That's what politicians are. If you want to bring about any meaningful social change, you have to stop complying them. And that means not complying with the tax code. No evidence applies to anybody, but you have to stop paying taxes. There's no way around it.
Mm.
I'm losing – I don't have Vince feed.
It feels like an individual is overpowered, right? And that's the interesting thing is that throughout history, you have a look at it, and it's never been the majority that have actually really changed anything. It's always been pockets of individuals making the big changes, and all the masses just kind of fallen behind. And so what happens is you sometimes I believe that the 100th monkey syndrome slash critical mass or whatever is a real phenomenon. But that means there'd have to be 10,000 Americans doing what you're doing, Mark, simultaneously, beating the courts in order for people to wake up and suddenly realize that the emperor has no clothes. The taxation is illegal.
Well, it's theft.
Yeah.
It's robbery. I like to use stealing because stealing is a politically neutral word. Theft is – but it's stealing. Taxation is stealing.
How is stealing politically neutral whereas theft is not?
Well, I use – because in my experience, the words – when you look up in their statutes, they don't use stealing. They use robbery or theft. They don't use the word stealing. So I like to use the word stealing because it's not a word that I'm aware of has been co-opted by them. So I don't want to leave the impression. That's why I don't talk about sovereignty. I talk about autonomy because sovereignty is just too politically loaded and we want to do away with that system. So I don't want to give anyone the impression when I say it's theft that I'm advocating, they're breaking the law. No, I don't care what laws. I'm looking at what they're doing as immoral. And that it's just wrong from a basic, social standpoint. This is wrong. I don't care what your laws say. Because their laws always say it's okay to kill with lawful authority or legal authority. To me, it's wrong to kill unless it's in self-defense, unless you're meeting force. It's always wrong to initiate the use of physical force. And they always excuse it with their laws. Oh, we said so. Well, how is this not stealing? Oh, because we said so. Oh, okay. Oh, got it. My gun says so.
Yeah. Let's get off this topic because we all know that they're criminals. Okay, we all know that we're slaves. All right, we're slaves, and the criminals are running the penitentiary. Ultimately, that's the reality that we all kind of have to have sink in. And I don't think that it sinks into people quite as well as if you're actually in it, if you actually see the judge breaking the law right in front of you, if you see the cop pulling somebody out of their car and beating up a pregnant woman on the street for no reason, it doesn't quite sink in unless you're that person witnessing it for yourself, because there's an inherent amount of trauma associated with the witnessing of really horrific things. And I think the real problem is that people have gotten too freaking comfortable. They're just willing to think about it, talk about it, see it on radio, see it on the TV or on the radio. But there's a disconnect between people like us telling them that it's going on and having it happen to you.
Yeah.
That's the real difference, ladies and gentlemen. That's what can sometimes motivate you to fight these criminal scum. We'll be right back after the break with Mark Stevens, markstevens.net. That's Mark with the C.
The world we knew is gone. The conditions which framed and taught us our status have gone. Our aims afraid and told us our standards have gone wrong. The world
back. Welcome back. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's my final segment here with Mark Stevens. And I wanted to get your website out there. It's markstevens.net. It's Mark with a C and Stevens with a V. And what occurs to me as well is I wanted to get your personal story. Is that how did you enter into this world where you're fighting on behalf of people who are opposing the unlawful taxation and government scumbaggery?
Well, I was helping some friends. I was just learning more about it because I had this experience back in Long Island that just led me to believe that it's the amount of money that you're throwing at it. And that just led to more and more research and seeing, you know. So I fell into the whole, you know, patriot type of thing. And when I started challenging a lot of the patriot stuff, I saw a lot of that fell apart. And I came to the realization that there were no citizens, there were no states. The whole thing, all of it, was a lie. And I started helping some friends by applying this information in court, and the results were quite dramatic, where I was having judges impeach, you know, basically declare the witness against me. Every single one was being declared incompetent. I mean, every one. And then sometimes they would throw the ticket out, and sometimes they wouldn't. And that's just how it started. And so once we had a number of tickets that were thrown out, well, they tell their friends, and you kind of, you know, people start, you know, they want you to be able to help them do the same thing. And it just kind of took off from there. I was just doing traffic stuff, and I noticed that it was all taxes anyway, and I started doing more IRS stuff. So the more I just stuck to just the evidence, what facts do you have to prove your code applies? Or do you have any evidence to prove, you know, jurisdiction? Just sticking to the evidence, I was getting a lot of consistent results. But I was also getting a lot of results outside of the U.S., and so, it's like, well, there's something going on here. Why, you know? And you realize it's all the same thing. These men and women think they have a right to rule you because of the law. They don't have any evidence that applies. And they'll, you know, just pay or get shot. And so it just kind of took off from there. And that's where I got a lot of that material for the first book.
Book selling well? Is this becoming a popular issue? Because this is one of my goals in life, is to take what the mainstream media will not cover, and if they do cover it, it's in a soundbite form, which will never satisfy people's hunger for the truth. In these instances, I wish to be able to help, and I'm not anywhere near large enough in terms of the platform of the show to really, really help people in any way, shape, or form. But I can at least get it recorded, documented, and put it down and get it out there to a certain extent. Going to try and make these issues popular, because once they become popular, that's when traction starts building. And ultimately, it means that you've got a big support base that arises out of it. This is what really needs to happen, ultimately, with the quote-unquote alternative media, is to bring popularity to issues of importance so that the people who are listening online can actually turn up and help and or apply these particular lessons themselves and create a movement without having to actually follow any figurehead, without actually being part of any quote-unquote organized structure, because then the government will just come in and cut off the head of the snake and then everybody's fracked.
Right. And you know, what you were mentioning before, the break about someone actually going through it. Now, they may not be the defendant being sheared, but if they're in there watching this, and see, and that's where a lot, I think, even though my show isn't, you know, a very large show either, but we've got people actively involved. So if someone listening to the show has a ticket and goes into court, we can usually get media reps, or people who are like their reporters for the show that can watch. But the other people who are just there with tickets of their own or just watching for friends, they see what's happening. And it happens all the time where a complete stranger will see what happened. Like, holy crap. They will follow us out and ask what, like one of my co-hosts, JT, they've asked him, because he had a ticket thrown out by asking only three questions. And they said, what the hell just happened there? Why did the judge do that? Why did the prosecutor? And so, you know, that starts building the support that you're talking about, because the people who see them for what they are, because they were there, people who were there when I asked at Colby Granville in Tempe, we have jurisdiction because we said so. When they see that, like, oh, yeah, that's where you've got people who would not only teach other people, but they're willing to take a stand usually on their own. And so we've got more people standing up and questioning it.
Mm. Well, there is that case, of course, and a waterfall comes from one drop of water. Look what comes from that. And hopefully this is what will happen in the very near future, because I don't think we have a hell of a lot of time. The reason I believe why this system is global and why the same arguments and things work in courts all over the world is because we already have a world government.
Yeah, the control mechanisms are all in place. We've got a global surveillance state. It's already there. You have global control of money, which is why they're so upset with things like Bitcoin, because there's no centralized authority. You would have to have quite a massive cyber attack to shut down Bitcoin. And even if you did, there's alternatives turning up all the time. So there's the cat's out of the bag. But I think if people see them for what they are and understand that we're not alone out there. There are a lot of voluntarists and anarchists, and anarchy in a classic sense, we just don't believe in having rulers. Rulers are psychopaths. There's a lot more of us out there, peaceful individuals who maintain the belief in the non-aggression principle than the mainstream media will let you think. We're peaceful people. We want a voluntary society, and we're going to use peaceful means to get there and make government irrelevant. We don't believe in bombs and using force, that the means are consistent with the end. And when you see things like Porkfest, where you have Libertopia in a few weeks, you see that there's quite a few of us out there, and that helps. It's completely decentralized. There's no leader to whack. Thank goodness. But we are out there and the numbers are growing all the time. I mean, I have got more people listening to the show every month, and it's growing. And I believe because of the internet, we can get this information out there and people can see things like Ian's DMV hearing, and you can see these psychopaths on YouTube every day, in addition to the police brutality, which thank goodness so many, more people now can see police for what they are, which is just armed thugs with immunity.
Mm. Yeah, I completely agree that the alternative media is really rising. I looked at the Google Analytics for my website the other day, and it turns out that 75% of the hits are new visitors.
Nice.
So, it's really getting out there and bringing in new people daily. And this is, I hope, they'll become loyal listeners who will indeed support broadcasts like mine and yours and actually take steps. There's a number of ways to contribute. I mean, think about this. How many agendas of the New World Order are currently at play right here as we speak? Hundreds, thousands, millions even, maybe, right? So that means how many ways can you fight back? Hundreds, thousands, millions of ways you can fight back. You could go into the court yourself and challenge these people. You could do what the Peaceful Streets Projects are doing and follow around cops with cameras and film them whenever they're being brutal and then privately prosecute them. You can protest outside judges' homes, politicians' homes, and things of that nature, as many people in New Zealand are now doing. And as a result, they get called the lowest form of scum imaginable, ironically, by politicians who are, quote-unquote, the lowest form of scum imaginable.
Yeah.
You can host a radio show. You can do a YouTube channel. You can support somebody who's got a radio show or a YouTube channel. You can suggest guests. You can produce. You can – oh, my freaking God. What I really don't like, and I don't want to insult anybody here when I say this, what I really don't like it is that people haven't gotten it through their thick frickin' skulls that the worst thing you can do when you want to start out doing something right, the worst thing you can do is start asking for help right away. Help yourself. Make it freaking happen. Then you realize suddenly, hey, don't actually need anybody else in order to get things done. I actually just take personal responsibility for something, and you realize how powerful you are. Once you realize how powerful you are, and you're simply doing it anyway, regardless of whether or not people approve of you, people start to wonder, man, can I be that powerful too? And it goes on and on and on. This is the way that we're going to beat these New World Order scum, is you have to just, as Gandhi said, be the change that you want to see. Don't sit around and hope that somebody else is going to do something for you. There is no savior. You can save yourself.
Yeah. I have available a lot of ideas on my website. We have a parking ticket study. So it enables people with very little personal risk. You don't even have to see the cop. You just leave your car where, you know, you'll get a ticket and you just take it. We had 50 cases in Australia.
Oh, hold on. Got the feed up a bit too high there, brother. We've got about maybe 30 seconds left to go, Mark, so if you want to quickly finish your story. 20 seconds.
So people can get a ticket and challenge the system on evidence. We've had a lot of success in Canada and also Australia. That's something to do with this little risk, and you can make the same challenges.
I can barely hear what you're saying, Mark. Music's too loud. Thank you, AFR. All right, well, you can check out Mark Stevens' website and get this book, quite likely, off of markstevens.net. That's Mark with a C, Stevens with a V for Vendetta. And we'll see you again sometime, mate. Thank you very much for joining the broadcast.
Thanks, man.
And we'll be back next hour, ladies and gentlemen, with another fabulous guest, allegedly.